All right, guys, I know you've seen this all week, at least for the last few days, since Saturday. This picture that you're looking at. And there are a lot of opinions on this. There's a lot of people supporting and giving mom props for being there for her son in his very emotional moment when he loses a football game. Giving him the son, the quarterback, the leader of the team, former Heisman winner, giving him credit for being so open with his emotions. And then there are those of you who have a different opinion. I'm not going to tell you where I fall just yet. But what I will tell you, the football is a game of inches. Football is a game of errors and execution. And if you execute more than your opponent, you will come out a winner. However, if you make more errors than your opponent, you may lose the game. Not all the time. Sometimes you're just a better team. But in most cases, if you make more mistakes, more errors than your opponents, you will lose the game. That's why it's called a game of inches. That's why it's so exciting. That's why you practice day in and out, day in, day out. That's why you go in the summer in the sweltering heat in pads. You go to two-a-days and you work out. You do an extensive workout in ungodly heat. Is it just so that you can get your body condition? That's part of it. Is it just so that you can get your mind conditioned to deal with the task at hand under heavy duress? That's part of it too. But what it also is, and most importantly, it is repetition. And you have to start early because repetition leads to execution. And if you can imprint something in your mind, then even when your mind is tired and your body is weak, it becomes second nature. Execution becomes just something you do. Doing it right just becomes something that is programmed in you because of all those hours that you put in working, perfecting, performing the same tasks over and over and over until they become instinct. This is what separates winners from losers. Now listen, college football has been exciting this year. It's always exciting. You know, those of us who love football in general, we especially love college football because it's exciting. This year has been especially exciting because we've had things that we've never seen before. We've had the draft portal. We've had the NIH money or NIL money. I mean, we have students getting paid. We have just all these different elements that are in college football that were never there before. And so we've seen teams rise up that usually don't, that sometimes don't. You know, now there's a big question mark above every school. Who's going to be dominant in this new era? The door is wide open for everyone. You know, Colorado had a 1-10 season last year. They were terrible, abysmal season. So they brought in Deion Sanders. And of course, prime time. The guy who ran a 4.37 on grass at 40 years old and played for the Baltimore Ravens came to coach college football, D1 college football for the Colorado Buffaloes. That story all in itself is exciting because we've seen the success that he had at Jackson, a historical black college. We saw the different things that he had to deal with just to make them a legit football team and to just make the program a legit football program for these kids. So he fulfills his contract and he signs to a D1 school. He signs to Colorado and becomes the coach. Of course, there's a lot of hype surrounding him. He has a lot of cameras. There's wherever Deion is, there's going to be a camera. It's just his life. It's just who he is. He is prime time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So we've watched this and we've been exciting. But you can do all the reality shows and you can do all the talking and all the dancing and all the chanting and all the posturing, but it means absolutely nothing until you get on that football field, on that gridiron, facing your opponent who is just as enthusiastic and is just as motivated to beat the snot out of you as you are to beat the snot out of him. And so Colorado came out like gangbusters. They came and played the national title runners-up, TCU. Now, I don't know if everybody gets the significance of this game, but this is one of the worst teams in the league last year, 1-10, playing against the second best team on paper in all of college football. And this is their first game. Normally, this is a blowout. But Deion and the Colorado Buffaloes, his sons, they surprised us. They pulled off one of the biggest upsets in college football history and beat TCU 45-42. I remember after that game, I remember all the commentary, everybody talking about this game. And of course, that's what you would do because TCU was in the national championship the year prior. And for Colorado Buffaloes, a team that went 1-10 the year prior to beat one of the best teams in the league in their first game with a new coaching staff, with new players, with the whole entire new program. That is something to behold. That is something that I don't think has ever happened, not on this level. This has never happened in college football. So they win the game. Now everyone's crowning them. If they can beat the runners up, what about the champions? They can probably beat them too. What about the number one team? They can probably beat them too. They can win a national title in Deion Sanders' first year as a head coach. What a story that would be. But like I always do, I said, hold on, hold on, hold on. This is college football. This ain't the pros. This is college football, and this is the first game in a new, entirely new era of college football. Yes, they were 1-10 last year. Yes, TCU went to the national title last year. But this is a different football program. This is a different football league now. So there are one of two things that could be attributed to that win. Number one, Colorado came and they were motivated to win and they practiced and they executed all their plays, which in the game they did. It was perfect. It was a perfect game. I don't think they had a single penalty that game. And they won. But hold your horses. Either they're that good or TCU's not that good this year. Because this happens in college football all the time. Either Colorado Buffaloes are that good and they're one of the best teams in college football after going 1-10 the season prior, which is very rare. It almost never happens. Or TCU's not that good this year, which almost always happens in college football. So they play Nebraska. They win 36-14. Nebraska is a powerhouse school, but we saw Nebraska's record last year. They weren't that good. But hey, neither was TCU. Remember, they went 1-10. So they beat Nebraska, so everybody's excited. They play Colorado State the very next game. Now, Colorado State's a cross-state rival. Colorado State last year was almost as bad as as Colorado was. But, you know, cross-state rivalries, I don't care who you are and where you play, that is going to be a tough game. Always. And it was. And Colorado pulled it off. Crown them. They go play Oregon next week. They play Oregon. They get blown out. Now everybody's pulling down the string. Deion Sanders, it was all hype. He's not that good of a coach. He's not going to be here after the season. He's not going to last. He's not that good. His program is garbage. He does this. He does that wrong. All the naysayers came out. One loss after winning three games straight against good schools, after going 1-10, all the naysayers come out on the first loss to a top team, to a top program consistently every year, the Oregon Ducks. So they play TCU the very next week, and everyone says, you know, we'll see if they're really good. We'll see. They play USC the following week. We'll see if they're good. We'll see if they're good. They play USC. They play the Heisman Trophy winner, Caleb Williams. We'll see how good they are. But we did. They lost. But the game was close. 41-48. A margin of victory, 7 points. Mind you, USC has the Heisman Trophy winner playing for them against a team that went 1-10 last year, the year that he won the Heisman, and they barely squeaked out a victory, 41-48. Now, up to this point, we've seen Colorado make million mistakes, penalties. I mean, they've done a lot of things wrong, but they're so good that they make all of these errors, the games are still tight, with the exception of Oregon. Play Arizona State the next week, 27-24. It's a win. They did a lot of things wrong. They made a lot of mistakes. 27-24, they won. Then they play Stanford, another good school. Another school that is consistently good every year. Probably not the top team, but consistently good every year. They play them and they lose 43-46. Now everybody's saying Deion's going to get fired. He's not going to last in college football. This ain't for him. He can't. I mean, all the naysayers. Are you paying attention to what's going on? This team went 1-10. This team was a complete. They were the 1980s Detroit Lions of college football last year. They beat top teams this year. They've played top teams close in their losses, except for one game. And you already ready to write them off? They've won 4 games. They've quadrupled the number of wins from last year with a new program, a new coach, and all new players. They've quadrupled their wins. That is a success so far. I mean, it is insane to see people ready to drag him down because he's not taking them to a national championship his first year of head coaching after they went 1-10. It is just crazy to me. It makes absolutely no sense. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the Dallas Cowboys. And I know you hate when I talk about them because you hate them because they've won so many Super Bowls despite your dislike. And if you're a 49ers fan, don't tell me the last time Dallas Cowboys won a Super Bowl, because the last time 49ers won the Super Bowl was longer than that. And if you're a Minnesota fan, don't even talk to me, because you've never won a Super Bowl. You've lost more Super Bowls than we've won. So that makes you the greatest losers in football. Buffalo Bills, same thing. Don't tell. So let me get back to what I'm saying. That makes the Dallas Cowboys, when they hired Jimmy Johnson, what happened? What was their record? 1-15. They won one game in Jimmy Johnson's first year as a head coach. One game. Not 1-11. Not 1-12. The Dallas Cowboys in Jimmy Johnson's first year as a head coach went 1-15. 1-15. They were the Colorado Buffaloes of last year in Jimmy Johnson's first year as a head coach. In Deion Sanders' first year as a head coach of a 1-10 team, they've already won 4 games. So don't tell me this is failure. If you say that this is failure, I say you don't know football. I say that you have some other vendetta against Deion Sanders. You just don't like him and you want him to fail. So in your mind, no matter what, they're going to fail. No matter what. They can get to 6-7 wins a season. To you, it's failure. Even though they only won one game last year. Other coaches, other great coaches. What happened with the Dallas Cowboys after Jimmy Johnson's first year at 1-15? They won Super Bowls. He built a powerhouse. He built a program with players who believed in him. I believe Deion is doing the same thing at Colorado. He's building a program with players who believe in them. They don't have all the tools yet. They don't have everything they need yet to succeed, to win. But he's building the program. And we all know that movie, like Field of Dreams, if you build them, if you build it, they will come. Well, in college football, that's a reality. Especially with the transfer portal. If you build it, they will come. Those players, those pieces to the puzzle that you are putting on the table will come. Now, yes, there's been some questionable coaching calls. I will admit that. But you coach to the level of players that you have. If you're passing all the time, that means you don't really have a good run game. You don't have a strong line. But here's the thing. They're beating good teams, and they're keeping it close against other good teams that they lose against. That is monumental. That's huge. After going 1-10. I mean, they almost beat the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback and his team, USC. They almost sent USC into the losers column. A 1-10 team from last year almost beat the Heisman Trophy winner and sent him crying to his mama in the stands. It didn't happen, but it almost happened. And this is my second point. In what world is losing a football game as an adult who's getting paid more money than you've probably ever made in your life? In what world is losing a regular season game than going in the stands and jumping in your mama's lap and crying? In what world is that cool? In what world does that display a good leader with strong character, with strong will, with thick skin, who can overcome adversity? In what world is that okay? I'm sorry, if that's okay in your world, if you think that's great that he's showing his emotions and his mama's there for him and it's just a beautiful thing, you know what? That's because you're not a leader. You're a follower. You can't see leadership qualities. You will follow anybody who looks like a leader. That's why a lot of times sheep follow the wolves to their own slaughter. But this man, this leader, leader of men, leader of gritty men, tough men, men's men, their leader lost a football game in the regular season. It's not like the season's over. It's not like it's his last game. It's not even like it's his last year. This is his choice. He's a junior. But he loses a regular season game, and he goes running to the stands, jumps on his mama's lap, and he cries, and that is okay to you. I'm sorry, but it's not okay. It's not okay. It's comical, but it's not okay. Listen, I played football. I didn't play college football. I wasn't good enough. Probably wasn't good enough. I definitely wasn't motivated enough. But I played. You know, when you're a kid and you play sports and you lose and you cry, that's natural because you've never had that feeling before. You don't know what it's like to lose or even to win for that matter. You don't know what it feels like. So, yeah, everything is new. It's fresh. It's emotional. The letdown is emotional. But you get a few years to perfect losing. You get a few years to perfect winning. And I would say it's good to be emotional and to cry when you lose up until about junior high, middle school. Still immature. Your testicles haven't dropped yet. So you're still a little soft and you still have a lot of estrogen in your system. So when you cry and you at a loss, yeah, you're hurt. And so that's your natural emotion. But when you become a grown man, and now this isn't just a sport that you're playing for accolades and for a plaque or a trophy. This is something that you get paid to feed your family to do, and you get paid better than everyone else your age. Better than ever, more money than you've ever seen in your life. You're getting paid to be a leader. That money that they give you, that contract they give you, and that and if you're requesting ownership, part ownership, and stocks in a team, they're investing in you as a leader. And I'm sorry, but a leader has to be the strongest one in the building. Everybody has to lean on your shoulders. You can't go running to your mama and jumping in her lap and weeping like a little baby. Other men are watching you, wondering what to do. How do we come back and win our next game? You're our leader and you're supposed to be the example. I'm getting real for a second, because even when you see the leader of a family, whether it's a mom or whether it's a father, and someone passes away and everyone's devastated and everyone's crying, that leader is the rock for the family that everyone leads on. He doesn't break down, or she doesn't break down. She's strong. She endures it. Sometimes it doesn't happen like that all the time, I know. But for the most part, she is the strongest one. Up until a point, you know, there's a point where it's okay. It's okay for everyone to mourn. But there, throughout the process, somebody has to be that rock. Somebody has to be stable for the entire family who's breaking up, who's broken, breaking apart. This dynamic is not different in sports. It's the same dynamic, but the loss is far less important. Far less important, not even close to being as important. And you're telling me that you can't keep it together until you get to the locker room? You can't keep it together till you get to your car? You can't keep it together till you drive over to your dorm? You can't keep it together until you get on the plane? You have to run all the way across the field to your mama, jump in her lap and cry like a little baby. I'm sorry, y'all. That's not okay. And in this soft generation, this soft society, we're seeing people raise up, not as leaders, but as followers. We're seeing men who would be great decide to be sheep and not lions. They want to go cry in their mama's lap. Every time there's adversity, every time there's a problem, they want to go cry. They want to go lay in the street and throw a tantrum like a little child in the store. That's what this generation is doing. And one of the leaders of this generation, at least in the sports world, we've seen him. He's a product of this generation. Loses a football game, runs across the field, jumps in his mama's lap, and he cries like a little baby. I'm sorry. It's not okay. Man up. All right, this is a long rant. My college football rant from the weekend. I wanted to get it out of my system. I could have, when I saw it, I could have ran to my mama and cried in her lap like a little baby too, because I was so disappointed. But I'm a man. I don't cry like that. I'm a leader. All right, this is Orlando, and I'm out.